Their courage will astound you. Their stories will move you. Their faith will inspire you.
Welcome to Great Stories About Great Saints on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Well, good afternoon and welcome. It is great to be here with you today. Thank you so much for staying tuned to us here at Relevant Radio. A little background before we kick it off. You know, Father Rocky, who was our chief executive officer here, he went ahead and said to me, he said to really all of us, let's dedicate the day to the saints. And I thought, you know, what a brilliant idea. And we know the saints, we call upon them, right, on times of trial, at least I hope you do. I know my wife loves St. Anthony of Padua. She calls upon him all the time for finding that lost car key or that missing shoe or whatever it may be. And, you know, there are saints that we turn to in impossible cases. If you are dealing with cancer, of course, St. Peregrine is one of those saints that you go ahead and you turn to. And, of course, so many others, St. Rita, St. Jude, so many saints of the impossible. So today, I thought maybe today I'd fill you in a little bit on the saints, and we'll talk about some of those powerhouse saints that you can turn to in your time of trial or need. But I want to do this, too. I want to open the phones to you. If you've had an encounter, let's say, with St. Jude, I know people have tremendous devotion to him. I'd love to hear from you. Love to hear your story. Testify. Give credence to the power of the intercession of the saints. They know our walk. They know our struggle. They've lived this life, and they've passed that great test of life. And they are now, you know, before the beatific vision. They are experiencing love in its fullness, and they are there interceding. St. Therese, St. Faustina, many of the saints promised that they would continue to fulfill their mission from the other side of the veil. They would continue to do that. And I'll tell you what, I just invite you right now, if you could, if you're in a really difficult time, you're struggling financially, you are struggling with health, you're having other difficulty, go ahead and turn to those saints, and you'll be surprised at how they intercede for you. And also, feel free to join me. It's 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. You can go ahead and dial in at any time and go ahead and share your story with us. But let me just start with, you know, one of the great saints is St. Jude. And I thought maybe I'd highlight him. And I'd love to hear your story, as I said. You know, why today, though? Before we get to that, let me start on this point. You probably seeing on social media, right, a meme that's going around. You see that? It talks about All Hallowtide. For me, it's a new term, right? I don't know that term, but it refers to the kind of triduum that's taking place with Halloween and ending with All Souls. This time of year teaches us so much about the truth of the church. And look, it's the fact that it doesn't just exist here, right? Jesus, you know, through our Lord, through Christ, we're in communion with all those who've made it home, with those who are still being purified for their final journey home. And you might have loved ones who have gone before you. One day you're going to be perfectly united to them, you know? And I really do believe that they pray, they intercede for you. Now, those who've made it home, they're not sitting on a cloud somewhere, right? They're not just chilling back. You might have these weird visions of them playing a harp or something that, you know, the cartoons make you think of. Now, heaven is beyond all expectation. You know, St. Paul tells us that no eye has seen, no ear has heard the beauty that awaits those of us who love God and pass this great test of life. There are mysteries of the afterlife that we cannot even put into words. They're impossible for us to describe. I personally believe, from those who've had these near-death experiences, from the saints who have glimpsed the other side, that there are strange new realities that await us. I mean, on this side of life, we have a spectrum of color, right? I think in the next life, it's even greater. They say because it's heaven's outside of time, there's no beat, and yet there's music. How does that work? I mean, these are mysteries. I don't know. They say that the flowers, the beauty of the afterlife, right? It doesn't just reflect the light like the sun, but it emanates the light of God. The saints are there. You know, St. Therese of Lisieux, who I love, and Lisieux, I think is how you say it. I always get corrected for saying it wrong. And of course, St. Faustina. St. Therese said, I want to spend my heaven doing good on earth. That was what she promised. I want to spend my heaven doing good on earth. St. Faustina said, she said, look, I will pull back the veils of heaven so that you doubting souls will not wound with your distrust the most merciful heart of our Lord. They promised that their mission would continue after their death, where they would be even more effective. So we can call on the saints, those who've made it home, to pray for us. That's the beauty of our faith, right? The beauty of the saints also is that they're not all the same, right? There's so many different patrons. They all have different personalities, right? Some have short tempers. Some lived very licentiously before their conversion, right? I think of St. Mary of Egypt, who was a prostitute. She was a prostitute, this woman, who decided to make money plying her trade on a ship that was heading to Egypt, right? So she was going to make money from these guys who are on this long journey. So they get there to Egypt, and she approaches a church door where everybody went in, and there was like an invisible force field where she couldn't get into this church. And it stopped her in her tracks. She had such a profound conversion. I'm giving you the thumbnail story of her. She ended up becoming a hermit. She ended up going into the desert, spending the rest of her life doing prayer and penance. That's the power of conversion. And it's also the history of these saints with different personalities, talents, vocations. They all lived in a different time. They all had different challenges, some more difficult than others. And you and I, right? You and I are living, I think, in a very special time. We are called to become these saints. So, you know, we live in what some people think are impossible times. I think they're probably right. I mean, every era has its evil. I think there's every epoch has its evil. Yes, that's for sure. But in impossible times, we need to call upon those saints of the impossible. And I do want to tell you a little bit about St. Joseph, too, or not St. Joseph, St. Jude, who is one of the great patron saints of the impossible. Before I do, let me grab a quick call or two. Susan is listening to us in Orlando. Susan, thanks for joining us. You're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to thank St. Joseph. He interceded for my husband's conversion. In 2018, he went to a retreat, and while he was in the retreat, I prayed for him to St. Joseph, and when he came back, he was a different man.
Oh, wow. I love it. Well, it's one prayer that's always heard, Susan, is the prayer of conversion. I am absolutely convinced of that, and I am delighted that your husband, is had a conversion. Pray for your spouse. I think there's nothing more powerful than praying for your wife or your husband and for their conversion. My own father, who I've often talked about, my mother prayed for him for years. He had such a profound conversion. He was a radio broadcaster and did secular radio for a long time. After his conversion, after the grace of God touched his heart like it touched Saul, who became Paul, like it touched so many of these different saints, he decided to dedicate his life to broadcasting, and started one of the first Catholic talk radio shows in the nation under Cardinal Kroll. Would he dream that his son one day would be doing that? Probably not. His son never dreamed of doing it, and yet here I sit. But that's the power of the prayer of conversion. God hears those prayers and brings them around in a powerful way. Let me share a little bit about St. Jude with you, if I could, and I'll take a few calls. Andre and Cedar Lake, I'll get you on. I want to hear your St. Jude story. If you have one, let me know. You know, we don't know a whole lot about him. That's one of the reasons I want to talk to him. His brother, he's actually the brother of James the Lesser, and he also went by Thaddeus, and he wrote the letter of Jude, which is, it's pretty short, but beyond him asking, you know, a question of Jesus at the Last Supper, he doesn't really say anything else. There's not a whole lot recorded in Scripture, right? So why is Jude the patron of hopeless causes? It's a little uncertain, but I'll tell you what, if you're in an impossible situation, I always want to put them on your radar along with St. Rita and St. Philomena, because I think they're great saints of the impossible. His letter says that we have to continue to persevere in our faith, no matter how trying the circumstances of our life are. I love that message. I don't know where you are today, how difficult your situation is. But he gives us some great advice. Continue to persevere in your faith, no matter how difficult the circumstance of your life is. It goes back to the devotion of St. Faustina, trust, right? It's all about, you know, like, worry will do nothing for you. I say it all the time. It'll do zero, zero, zero. It'll get you nowhere. What does it hurt you to put your faith in God, to put your trust in God? That's what he says. No matter how trying your circumstance is, put your faith in God. In our day, I think the most famous recipient of St. Jude's intercession is Danny Thomas. I don't know if you know his story or not. He was the founder of the St. Jude Research Hospital. I always loved his story because he started out as a starving actor. He wasn't getting anywhere. And one day, he turns to the saint of the impossible, and he makes a vow to St. Jude. He says, if St. Jude would help me, if you'll look, help me in my career, help me become a success in acting, I, in turn, will build you a shrine. And, you know, I always have a problem with this because a lot of people make deals, right? God, if you let me win this billion-dollar lottery, you know what? I'll do this or I'll do that or I'll build you a shrine. But, you know, I guess sometimes God honors people. I don't get it. It's not how I pray, but I understand it. I understand it. So what happens? He makes this deal. Lord, if you do this, right, I'll build you a shrine. So in less than a year, right, this guy went from making about $500 a week. At the time, it was probably pretty good, right, which in 1930s is, you know, very good, actually, if you think about it. That's a lot of money. His career took off. Somebody noticed him, a big talent manager from Chicago. And he went from, he went on to have this huge radio and television career. He had a hit show called Make Room for Daddy. And he never forgot the promise that he made. He went from making $500, you know, a week to like almost $4,000. I mean, the money was just getting huge and all these movies. He became very, very wealthy. And he didn't forget his promise to the Lord. I think this is important. We often make deals with God, but we don't always honor them, right? He never forgot it. He consulted the Archbishop of Chicago, at the time was Cardinal Stritch, about what he was to do. And eventually the idea of a research hospital for children came up where they could go regardless of their ability to pay. And it was formed, and St. Jude's Hospital, you might see their ads on television, St. Jude's Research Hospital in Memphis came about as well. St. Jude is a powerful intercessor. And I'll tell you what, you probably have turned to him. You probably have your own stories. I'll take your calls. I want to hear about them as well. All throughout the show, I want to hear how God is working in your life. During the first century, St. Jude, is one of these great, I think, unknown saints who today is manifesting in a powerful way. He got a bad rap a little bit too, just as a side note here, and I'll take your calls. A lot of people didn't want to pray to St. Jude because they got him confused with Judas Iscariot, the traitor, right? And the fear was so great that Judas Thaddeus, he became, I think, one of the least known apostles. And maybe that's why God honors him today with such powerful intercession. Eventually, the English language made this slight distinction between the two apostles and gave Judas Thaddeus the name Jude, and the distinction took off. And today, of course, we know how powerful his intercession is. It's even believed, as one just final note here, that he played a role in the Shroud of Turin. He showed it to King Abgar. It may have been one of the protectors of the Shroud, the burial cloth of Christ. A lot of very famous saints turned to him. There was a story I had heard of the Lord coming. I think it was St. Bridget of Sweden. And the Lord told her to turn to him, and he would powerfully intercede for her, and she did. So the intercession of him has now taken place across the centuries. Legend dating all the way back to the 4th century holds that the saint was martyred in Persia while on mission. Others believe St. Jude, called the apostle to the Armenians, died in Armenia or maybe in Beirut in Lebanon. But some sources say that Jude actually brought the gospel to Judea and to Samaria and to Syria and to Mesopotamia and to Libya. Some of St. Jude's bones are actually located at St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. So if you're ever there, say a prayer next. And they're left, they're under the left transept main altar of St. Joseph. So let me go to the phones. I'll take a call or two. Andrea is listening to us in Cedar Lake, Indiana. Hi, Andrea. Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. Thanks. So you have a devotion to St. Jude?
Well, this is what happened to me. It's a St. Jude miracle.
Cool.
In 1957, Easter Sunday, and I was a toddler. I was the seventh of eight children at the time. My parents went on to have 13. And on Easter Sunday, they got home. All the kids were going into the house. I was outside, and I was putting stones to the bumper of the car. My mom asked my dad to pull the car in the garage so they could take pictures outside. He didn't know I was in front of the car. he was running over me. He thought he ran over a cat, so he was contemplating that he should complete the job. But then he backed up and he went out and he saw it was me.
Oh my gosh.
All my ribs were crushed and they were through my lungs and my collarbone smashed and everything. And he carried me into the house, of course, and he, you know, they called the doctor, believe it or not. He turned me over, blood is gushing everywhere, and they drove me to St. Francis Hospital in Illinois there, which is in Evanston.
Wow.
And they never dreamed I'd live, and I was so tiny that they had to, like, feed me, like, through my ankles, you know what I mean? And I shiver when I think of it, but my godfather had a relic of St. Jude, a chip of his bone, and they pinned it to me. And at some point, I was in the hospital for almost 2 months. They pinned it to me, and at one point, the laundress found it on my little nightgown or whatever, you know, and so she found it. Oh, look, here's this. This was in the laundry. When they pinned it back on me, I made a turn for the better, and I survived. Wow. I have bad scars, but I went on. I have 6 children now. So I believe God really wanted me to have the kids that I have.
Oh, how beautiful.
But I believe that was truly a miracle because they never thought I'd live and told my parents so.
That's absolutely amazing. Did you share that with those who promote St. Jude, the devotion? That's an amazing story.
Oh, yes. And I've told it sometimes when I'm at Mass around Easter time and people really, I mean, because it really was amazing. You think in 1957, I mean, it was truly amazing that I survived. I was completely crushed.
Well, I guess you spread devotion to St. Jude. I think about it. I don't know a whole lot about him. I actually have a relic of him. Somebody had given me one years ago. And that's why I thought, hey, today I'd talk a little bit about him. But I love your story. What a powerful one. Thank you for sharing it. Thank you for telling others about it, too. Continue to do that, okay, Andrea? God bless you. You know, I had heard other stories about St. Jude as well. Great stories like cancer being healed. I mean, there's these amazing stories of, there was a story I was reading earlier today about a guy in Finland who had been devoted to St. Jude for decades. And I often say this, you know, I don't think we choose our saints. I think the saints choose us. That's what I say. Why do I promote mercy, divine mercy? I think because St. Faustina chose me. I knew nothing about her. But when I prayed at her tomb with her vice postulator before she was even a blessed, I think she chose me. I don't know what I prayed at that tomb. I don't know what my heart said that day in prayer, but I think God gave me an anointing, and that's why divine mercy has been a big part of my life. And various saints have come into my life. You might know the same thing. This guy had this great devotion to St. Jude, and his sister got a gold medal of St. Jude about 45 years ago. And he says, I believe St. Jude prevented his death. He was in 2 car accidents and survived those. He had 2 health operations. He says, cancer is not always a death sentence. I was diagnosed with cancer in January 2022, and I was offered radiation therapy, but I refused, and I turned to prayer of St. Jude. Out of 4 cancer cells, 3 disappeared, and the 4th reduced to 2 millimeters. So he says, he's now an administrator, this guy on Facebook, and he credits St. Jude for his powerful, powerful intercession. I'll take a few more of your calls. Love to hear from you. If you want to join us, it's 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. If you're having trouble with your kids, though, all right, you're having trouble in your relationship, if you're discerning a vocation, you may want to stay with me. There's another saint who I love. Her name is Saint Rita, and I think she's a powerhouse for you mothers and for you for you parents, for you spouses. Hey, look, I see the phone's lighting up. I'll be more than glad to take your calls, too. Feel free to join me. I think Patrick's on my phone right now. He'll screen your calls, and we'll continue our conversation right after this. Number to get in, 888-914-9149.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Father Simon Says on Relevant Radio.
The hymnody, the text is conformed to the melody. In chant, the melody is conformed to the text. I will now chant the ingredients on a ketchup bottle. Tomato concentrate from red ripe tomatoes. Distilled water, high fructose corn syrup, salt, spice, onion powder, natural flavoring. And believe me, once you get that melody in your head, it's there. You see, for us, the text is everything because it's written by the Holy Spirit and not by some songwriter in some office thinking, oh, that's a catchy tune, I should write a hymn to it.
A Bible study and Catholic Q&A like no other.
But that's the first time we ever heard a ketchup bottle chanted.
And a host who's one of a kind.
Father Simon Says.
1 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Great stories about great saints on Relevant Radio.
Hey, talking about the saints of the impossible today. Happy All Saints Day to you. We've got a lot to get in throughout the day. And I see phones are busy. Love to talk with you. So if you want to try to get through, 888-914-9149. Have you had an encounter with a saint of the impossible? I want to tell you a little bit about St. Rita coming up today. I also definitely want to tell you about one of the powerhouses who's really working overtime. That is St. Philomena. I just love St. Philomena. But let me just go to Grafton, Wisconsin. Joyce has been waiting for a while. Joyce, good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi.
I want to share St. Dimphna with you. She found me. I came out of work, found a medal on the ground, brought it home thinking it was a Blessed Mother. It laid on my nightstand for maybe 2 months, and I struggled with anxiety for some time, worse at times, and I was kneeling by my bedside praying for some help, and I reached over, picked up the medal, and looked at it thinking it was a Blessed Mother, and it was different. And after my prayer, I got a magnifying glass, and it said St. Dimphna. And I thought, who's St. Dimphna?
Yeah.
And my gosh, it was,
yeah,
what a gift.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
She's for people who struggle with anxiety, depression, and I can't tell you what peace I found after that.
I
do reach to her, and it's been a number of years, and I share her with whoever I feel, and talking with them needs her.
Well, I love it. She's got a great story, and you're right. I'll give a thumbnail in a few minutes here, but if you are suffering with anxiety or depression, St. Dimphna is your patron saint. She was born in Ireland in the 7th century to a pagan father and a very devout Christian mother, and when she was 14, she actually consecrated herself to the Lord. She took this vow of chastity, and soon afterwards, her mom and her dad died. The mother died. Her father survived. But this guy had this deep, deep, deep love for his wife, and he began to suffer a rapid deterioration. He had this, today we know what it is. It was overwhelming depression, right? He suffered all this, mental instability. And so unhinged was he that the king's counselor suggested that, he remarry, though he was still grieving the loss of his wife. So he agreed to remarry if a woman as beautiful as she could be found. And they sent out supposedly messages, throughout the town and other lands to find a woman of noble birth that resembled his wife. And, he looked upon Dimphna when he saw her and consented to the arrangement. So it goes on and on. I'll fill you in on more, but I don't have time. There was a whole plot that surrounded this. But the bottom line is Dimphna is known as the patron saint of those with mental illness. And, check out her story, especially if you're having trouble. Marie in San Diego. Let me sneak you in very quickly. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Drew. When in high school, my brother, older brother, was heavily into drugs and other crimes, and it just went on for years. And he even almost killed my mother driving over her when he was trying to get out of the house and like hit her with a frying pan. And it was just horrible to watch this. And he was just out of control. My parents were beside themselves. But anyway, we started a novena to St. Jude every night at dinner, and also the Memorare every night. And my mom, you know, was just in tears. But eventually he was arrested and went to jail for a year. But when he got out of jail, he was clean. And he's totally reformed his life. And it was just like a testament to all of us, my mother's, you know, devotion and faith. So, and especially St. Jude.
I love that. Well, thank you for sharing that St. Jude testimony. You spread devotion to St. Jude now?
Absolutely.
And would you recommend?
Cause I know, and the memorari, of course.
I know a lot of people who suffer addiction, and that's an impossible situation for people. You know, it really is. And you think there's no way out.
Yes.
But I've seen freedom from addiction. I testify to that all the time. And I think, you know, maybe St. Jude's a saint to turn to in that impossible situation. So what a
it
great testimony.
For my brother, yeah, which is...
You know, there's a lot of parents looking for answers. So maybe start that novena to St. Jude. Turn it to St. Jude and ask for that drug-addicted loved one that they can go ahead and find the freedom that they're looking for. So just the St. Diffin story, I don't think I concluded it properly. I want to make sure I'm clear on that. You know, this guy wanted him to marry his daughter, and she wouldn't do it. And, of course, it's kind of twisted and kind of sick. But, a lot of miracles have taken place around her. Didn't receive the crown of martyrdom. She was actually put to death for refusing. It outraged the king, and she was ultimately put to death. But a lot of miracles have taken place to her through her intercession. So maybe with addiction today, turn to St. Jude. Maybe with mental health or other issues. Maybe there's dysfunction in your family like there was in hers. Turn to St. Diffna, all right? Call upon their great intercession. Phones are stacked here. Let me take a short pause. I hear the bumper running. When we come back, I do want to talk to you about St. Philomena. Throughout the day, we're going to be talking. I'd love to hear your stories. I see people wanting to talk about St. Charbel Maulus, great, and St. Peter Chantel. Wow, lots of great saints here. St. Jude, we were just talking about St. Rita, patron saint of the impossible. So is Philomena. You'll love her story. We'll be back with more right after this.
All Saints Day means all saints all day.
Incredible journeys of faith, heroic holiness.
Welcome back to Great Stories About Great Saints on Relevant Radio.
And the Relevant Radio app.
I'm loving it. I'm having some fun today. We'll do that for the next couple hours. We're going to pray the chaplet in a half an hour. We'll turn to one of my favorite saints, St. Faustina, right? And I'll actually share with you a little bit later in the show the unbelievable connection between the Sacred Heart devotion, St. Mary Margaret Alacoque, and Faustina and Divine Mercy. Those two things are almost parallel. And so are the promises. It's pretty amazing. We'll get into that. We got a lot to talk about today. My phones are always open for you, and I'll take a few more calls in a minute. But first, I want to welcome Father Jason Kolczynski. I'm going to say Kolczynski, as they say in Polish, Kolczynski. He's been a longtime friend of the show. In fact, you talk about saints. This guy is, I think, one of the largest relic collections I think I've ever seen. I was at a conference in Philadelphia with him, and he put it on display. But, you know, we talk about the saints choosing us. I think Philomena chose him because he's done just incredible work spreading devotion to this forgotten martyr and one who is – she. Join the rank of those saints of the impossible. Father, it's good to have you with me today. Thanks so much for joining me. Always good to have you back.
It's great to be here, Drew. Thanks so much for inviting me.
So do you think Philomena chose you?
Well, you know, absolutely, because I've told this story before. But so when I was assigned to teach high school some years ago, I get my letter. It says you're going to be assigned to live at St. Philomena's Church. And, you know, my first thought was, I don't know anything about St. Philomena. I had some vague memory that she had gone the way of St. Christopher, St. Dorothy, people who, you know, in the early church, we don't have any records of these people.
Right.
And many of the things come through tradition and legends. And, you know, so people kind of write that off, that this person didn't really exist. But I accept this assignment, and I was taking a drive over to my new residence. And as I was driving over, I kind of thought to myself, why can't I live in a church with a real saint? Because I mean, how do you promote devotion to someone that people question? And it was pretty quick that she got my attention. It was some years later. So during my time there, when I was in residence, different summers and when I was out of school. I was working on spreading devotion to St. Philomena, learning about her, and I learned that there was an archconfraternity that was based at her shrine in Mugnano del Cardinale, Italy. And so learning about this, I contacted them and asked for some prayer cards and things, et cetera. Some years later then, not really knowing a whole lot still about her, not necessarily except by this, some years later, I was appointed administrator of the parish at the end of at around 12 years in high school. And so the morning I woke up that I was taking over the parish, I learned two things from the staff. One was that we were in debt. Like, that's nothing new. But the other was that someone was trying to contact the parish about the rector of the Shrine of St. Philomena, who was going to be traveling in the country, who wanted to visit as many St. Philomena churches as he could. And he had heard about this one and had never been in there. He'd never been there before. And so I returned this call, and there was a wonderful woman, Lisa Bowen, who lives in Delaware. And she was the regional representative for the Archconfraternity. And she was coordinating, doing a lot of the work to get Monsignor's plans in place to where he was going to visit. And so she said she had called and didn't get an answer. And then, when I got there, when I took over, ultimately, I called her back, and she was like, "Well, that's wonderful. We're about to give up on you." So we planned that Monsignor would visit. He was going to have Mass. It would be a Sunday afternoon, and he would have Mass. He didn't speak English so much, so I had Mass. He gave the homily, and then through a translator, spoke about St. Philomena and his visit. And then there would be a conference, and we would have all these great things. So as we were walking around the parish, just looking at the grounds, and she's looking at, well, we could have the conference here in the parish hall, and we'd have Mass, we'd go back in anyway. So as we're walking around, she's telling me the stories of her association with the Archconfraternity, and about who was the rector who was no longer with us. And so point, she turned to me, and in the strange, almost accusing look, said, "Have you heard her knocking?" And I thought, oh my gosh. Back up. When I moved into the parish 12 years earlier, I'd come back from school, and I'd be sitting in my room working across the room. I would hear the sound like someone knocking. And it was very rhythmic and very, but it was very, very real. And so I just thought, well, I don't know what it is. It's not too early for the steam heat to be coming on and knocking. I even had the maintenance man check the attic to see if there were mice or squirrels running around up there. It was a very strange sound. But after a while, I don't know that I really, paid attention to it anymore. And there were no mice, no squirrels. And so there are 12 years later, and Lisa says this to me, and I said, well, yes, I heard knocking for years, I think, and she's trying to get your attention. So she apparently knocks the way that St. Teresa sends roses. And the story goes back to the very beginning when her remains were discovered in the catacombs. And they were brought to the Vatican. Nothing was known about a Philomena. There was nothing in the martyrology. And so, but the remains were taken. And a priest came from Mugnano del Cardinale, Father Francesco di Lucia. And his parish, he said, had grown weak in virtue. And he said if he could get the relics of an early Christian martyr and focus the people's devotion to that martyr, he could renew their faith. And so he goes to the Vatican.
He sounds like you, Father. He sounds like you, right? He wanted a saint too.
It's the way
he does something in common.
Yes, she's worked several miracles for me. I mean, the parish that I'm in now. When I got here, it was under study to be closed. And things were pretty much, kind of winding down. The school had closed years before, and that's kind of for some people that means like, oh gosh, the church is going to be next. But the same thing happened at St. Philomena's church when I lived there. The school closed. People thought, oh, it's all over. Yeah. But then, Monsignor came and we became the national center. Little did I know that a few months later I would be named the national director, and that whenever I moved to a new church, that church would become the national center. because it seems to travel with me. So she is following me.
So bring us back in time. I didn't mean to step on you there, but fill us in with what happened to the man who says, look, I want a relics of a real saint. So he gets Philomena.
So he goes, and they offer him Philomena, and the story is, first he didn't want that. He said, what good is that? How am I going to, we don't know anything about her. So he brings back, he does accept them finally, and he's going back to his church, and they have the relics in the carriage, ultimately under the carriage in what would be the storage area, the trunk. And so as they're driving along, they start to hear knocking. And so they thought something was wrong with the carriage, and they stopped and they checked everything, and nothing was wrong. And they travel on a little more, and they're still hearing this knocking, and they can't figure it out. There's nothing wrong. Everything's holding together. And so one of the people, the father or his companions, I said, well, maybe, look, the relics of Saint Philomena are under the carriage, and maybe the young lady doesn't like riding under there. And so they brought the relics up into the carriage with them, and the knocking stopped. So it was the way she let them know that she was there. So, when Lisa said to me, well, she's been trying to get your attention, I said, well, she's certainly got it now. So, and miracles started to happen as soon as the relics arrived at the church. Several miracles are reported of people who were cured. Some people say that the church bells just started to ring on their own. And they can, after that story, then people who just heard the church bells ringing were cured. One of the first recorded miracles, because of course, when you start having miracles, you keep a record of it.
Oh, yeah.
And so one of the first was venerable, now blessed Pauline Jericho, recently beatified, who was the foundress of the Society of the Propagation of the Faith and a good friend of the Pope at that time. And she was the one cure that really caused Pope Benedict XV to really raise Philomena to the altars. Also, other miracles involved the oil in the lamp, and Blessed Anna Maria Taigi, a famous Roman mystic, had a granddaughter with an eye problem and anointed her eyes with oil from the lamp, and she was cured. And so many miracles started to happen, and so she became very, very, very famous. And then we don't find out about her until around 1833, when a Sister Maria Luisa is praying to Saint Philomena, because all these miracles are happening, she's becoming very popular, and she starts to hear an interior locution. It wasn't a voice she heard, but it was an interior voice she heard. And so she thought she was, hearing things or losing her mind, and she went to the superior, and the superior sent her to her spiritual director, and knowing that this woman was quite sane, said, go back and pray. And listen carefully for what you hear. And so as she writes down everything she hears, and basically Saint Philomena tells her the story of her own life, that she was a Greek princess, that her parents were pagans, that they were converted through the help of a doctor who worked for them, and they wanted to have a child, and they couldn't. And he promised them that, the God of the Christians could help them. And so they converted, and Philomena was born. And in the end, she traveled with them to Rome. Her father had to go meet with the Emperor Diocletian about a war that was being waged, and he was going to go try to fix things. And they walked in, and the emperor fell in love with her immediately, they say. And she had, like you said, when you were saying, Saint Dimphna had made a vow of virginity, consecrating herself to God. And so, of course, she wasn't going to be persuaded by Diocletian, the emperor, who wanted to marry her. And her, you have to do this. We came here looking for some kind of agreement on this war, and this is wonderful. The emperor wants to marry you. And she absolutely refused. Finally, she was thrown into prison. And the story was that basically Diocletian was known for all of these methods of murdering the Christians. And at first, they tried to drown her. They tied to an anchor and thrown into the Tiber. She was then that didn't work. And the story is that the angels appeared to her, untied the anchor, and carried her to the shore. And when people witnessed this and they saw that, and so many people were being converted as all this was unfolding. Next, he tried to kill her by shooting her with arrows, but that didn't work. I mean, either the arrows didn't reach her And in some of the cases, it said that the arrows turned around and killed the archers. So, of course, you know, if they kill a few archers, the rest of them convert. So it's very effective, means of evangelization. So, and then finally, in the end, she would not give in, and she would not marry him. She had promised herself to Christ, and he finally had her beheaded, which was finally. And the story is that the people saw her soul fly to heaven, and it was the same hour that Jesus died on a Friday. Wow. And so the miracles, just the conversions, the miracles, and you were talking about, people who are bound in all sorts of things. I mean, even today, you mentioned the relics. So I have one of my staff counted today. There are 174 relics on display. Wow. And so you saw about 150 or so. Mm-hmm. And so, I have a picture of us at the relic exhibit. So it's up to 174. And they've been kind of building up in a cabinet in my office. And then we put them on display in the church a couple times a year. And then people saw that exhibit and they wanted to know, like, how do I bring this to my parish? And so the saints traveled, sometimes with me, sometimes without me. And so they've been really good. And just recently, we decided to set them up more permanently, and so they are in what was the library of our school, and they are in a more permanent display. If you want to see, holyorderschurch.org, you can see some other pictures of the relic exhibit there. In fact, you can get, I have third class relic cards of many of these saints that are available. If you can reach me at holymartyrschurch.org. .com on the website.
Very great.
Or you could try holymartyrspastor@outlook.com if you're interested in any of these things.
Let me do this, Joe. I want to open the phones. If you have a miracle you want to attribute, or that you want to talk about the power of the intercession of St. Philomena, I'd love to hear from you, too, on that. And we can talk a little bit about this saint who joined the ranks of the Saints of the Impossible. We talked about St. Jude. I didn't really get a whole lot of time to share with you about St. Rita. And of course, right now talking about St. Philomena. And Father, I'm thinking about purity today and the terrible addiction to pornography that people have. St. Philomena, like Dymphna, like so many other saints who, took these vows of chastity, are there to intercede and to help. But I also think about finances, people struggling with their economics today, just making, putting food on the table. I know you've had encounters where we've seen the power of her intercession to such a scale that people find this hard to believe, where food has multiplied. And she is known as the Saint of the Impossible for so many different reasons. Chastity, we got the cord of Philomena, the oil. We can talk about all those things. But I always ask you to share the story of the multiplication of food. I had the opportunity to see it once in my life, and it blew me away. Why don't you share this? Because it gives people hope, I think, to know that, even though the laws of nature say, hey, I only have X, God can multiply. God can provide. God can find a way out of a situation that has no way out. So share that story, if you would be so kind.
So the story, I only know it secondhand. So on that day I spoke about that Monsignor Giovanni was coming from the shrine and visiting, and we're having the mass and the conference. And we had a plan for, how many people might be there. So, we knew, as the church was filling up, we thought, wow, this is a bigger crowd than we expected. And so in the end, we're having a conference and we're going to feed the people. So we decided to make meatball sandwiches and hot dogs for the kids and whatever. And so, we just didn't know, how many people to prepare for. So they kind of thought, well, if we get 250 people, we could be prepared. 250, that would be amazing. Our church has never seen anything like that. And so they prepared for 250 people or so. And as the day is going on, and we come over to the hall for mass, and we knew that in church there were more than 250 people for this event, and people were coming for the conference. And so as the day went on, everybody was fed, everybody ate, and everybody was happy, and at the end we had benediction. And so when I went over to thank the ladies in the kitchen and to kind of start closing things up, the lady said, Father, you have to come in here. You have to hear this. They said, we were serving the food to these people, and when we saw the crowd, we knew we didn't have enough food. There was no way. And they said, but we kept serving the food, and and they said, but then every time we ran out of meatballs, we turned around and opened the oven, and there was another tray of meatballs, and nobody knows where they came from. So that was amazing. Even better than that, they packed up the leftovers for me, and I had meatballs in the freezer for months.
You gotta love it.
Yep.
It makes me think of Christ turning water to wine, right? That multiplication of food, it's got to be fantastic.
Loaves and fish.
So let's do this. Let's grab a call or two. I have just a couple minutes here, and there's so much to talk about St. Philomena. I want to talk about the oil, too. I know people can get that. I want to talk about the Court of St. Philomena and so many other things. If you want to share your story, maybe you turn to this great saint of the impossible, and she interceded for you. Love to hear from you. 888-914-9149. Rose is listening in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Hi, Rose.
Yes, sir. I just want to say that here in Wisconsin, we have a shrine at Bridgeville, Wisconsin.
Right.
There is a shrine that was prepared by one priest. And so it is very active. And also the bishop is at Mass in August. And people want to visit anytime.
Okay.
It is beautiful. And then also in Green Bay, the only church that has the statue of St. Philomena is the St. Patrick of the Oratory. And we have quite a few people that have dedicated their time, and we have information about it and so forth. And we pray to this.
Well, that's wonderful, Rose. I had no idea there was a statue to St. Philomena. Beautiful young girl. I'm assuming that image is based on the revelations that was given to this this particular nun, Father. What do we know about that?
Well, there was nothing known about her physical attributes, but I mean, she was a Greek princess, and Diocletian fell in love with her on seeing her, and so she must have been quite something.
Hey, Father, we have a few moments, and before I go back to the phones, I do want to make sure people are aware of the oil of St. Philomena. Maybe fill us in on that, even the court of St. Philomena, if you don't mind.
Sure. Well, I mean, we're going to run out of time again, but let me give you the website. You can go to philomenafamilyusa.com, and everything's there. The stories are there, and the sacramentals are available there. Relic prayer cards are available there. So philomenafamilyusa.com. But so the oil, as I said, the oil that when they brought her body into the church, and it's enshrined above an altar in an image. She's not incorrupt or anything. But they would light, like candles today. They lit an oil lamp near the statue, near the image where that contained her relics. And so that one of the first miracles was the restoration of sight for a child who was blind. I mean, when the mother dipped their finger into the oil lamp and anointed the child's eyes. And in fact, St. John Vianney, a great friend of St. Philomena, he just was sent everybody to St. Philomena. In fact, said all of the miracles that were worked in his parish, and there were many, he attributed them all to the Blessed Mother and to St. Philomena. And so whenever anybody had, a problem or needed something, he would tell them to go to Philomena. And so he was apparently the first person to send the oil from the lamp out to people who couldn't make their way to Mugnano del Cardinale in Italy. And so he was the first to do that. And also being very devoted to her, he composed her litany. So the litany of St. Philomena was composed by St. John Vianney. And he also reportedly designed the cord of St. Philomena. I mean, there are many saints have, of course, many saints have oil and cords. I'm looking here at a cord of San Francesco de Paolo, another Italian favorite. But her cord is red and white in honor of her virginity and martyrdom. And it's either worn on the wrist, or if you have a large enough one, you can wear it around your waist or carry it on your person. All of these sacramentals, just to help keep in mind these great patrons, these great intercessors that we have. And so the oil, and then there's the chaplet. Again, people say that St. John Vianney did all of these things. And the chaplet is red and white beads with 13 beads. So you can pray, there's a particular prayer, or you can pray Hail Marys, 13, because St. Philomena revealed that she was 13 years old when she was executed.
Well, my guest today, Father Jason Kolzinski. Father, let's take another call or two before we run out of time here. So we're talking about saints of the impossible this hour, St. Jude, St. Rita, St. Philomena. There are many others, but Today, if you're learning about St. Philomena, check out philomenafamilyusa.com. That's Father's website, and you can get up to speed on what is just an extraordinary saint for our time. Seems like God's using her in a very powerful way today, Father. Even though she lived years ago, suffered under the horrific martyrdom of Diocletian. I mean, he was known for his executions and tortures, and persecution of the faithful. Today, God has really resurrected her. Nadine's listening in Wisconsin. Nadine, hi. You're on the air with Father Kozlinski.
Hi. Hi. This summer, we were praying novena to St. Philomena and multiple other saints, too. But one Sunday, we were getting ready for church and almost ready to leave the house when I hear this incredibly loud noise. I thought somebody threw a ladder against the house. And then I hear two knocks, one knock, two knocks, and then a third knock. And I said, oh, gosh, that's got to be St. Philomena. But it was so loud, I really thought somebody was trying to do something on the roof. So I went outside, and I see five birds flying southwest. Wow. We lived in Wisconsin, and we visit the Briggsville Shrine, and those birds were flying towards her shrine, southwest location. Mm. But it was amazing, and I did eventually, I had been searching for a job, I did get a yes and employment. So that was a miracle to us that how loud it was. My sister thought that with St. Philomena, you only get two knocks, so that's why I think there was that pause. But I'm like, wait a minute, St. Philomena gives three knocks. So then I heard the third knock.
Yeah, that's wild. I've never heard of a saint that knocked.
She was really trying to get my attention. I was getting 3-2-1 in that rhythm.
Wow.
It was very strange. So
that's
amazing. And there were times that in the past that I would actually get up to open the door and there's no one there.
Wow, yeah. That's kind of scary. It's a little creepy. Hey, I shouldn't say that. That's not really the case. We do know it's St. Philomena, but you get the point. If I heard somebody knocking in the middle of the night, if I didn't know it was Philomena, that would make me want to have my place blessed. Hey, Father, if people want to get the oil, do you provide that as well? Or do you have to go to Mignano for that?
We have that here. Yeah, no. And that was the whole point when we established the National Center and the regional centers. They should all have the oil, the cord, the chaplets. They should be available. So if you go to, as I said, philomenafamilyusa.com, you can see, there's information about everything. If you go to, I guess, philomena.us, and that will take you to the International Shrine. And there you can find a map where all the regional centers are. So in other parts of the world, that you can find a center. They are around the world. And if in the United States, you can find where your regional center is. I know there are centers all over the country. There's one in Delaware. There's one in, I know of one in California. I know they're all over. They're in Louisiana. They're in, I'm sure there's a center in Wisconsin. Yeah. If not, someone should found one.
All right. Well, there you go. Father, I got to leave it right there. I'm so grateful for your time. It's always good to have you here. Would you do us a favor today? Give us a blessing before you depart.
Sure. All right. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Through the intercession of St. Philomena, through the holy martyrs and the saints who watch over us, who intercede for us, may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm about to pray the chaplet, so I'll remember your intentions along with mine. I'll keep them in my heart, okay?
Please.
I'll lift them up.
It's also my mother's anniversary of her death.
Oh,
so pray for my mother many years ago.
Well, what's her name?
Wanda.
Wanda, we'll lift her up. All right, Father, thank you very much. Always good to talk with you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Father Jason Kozlinski, say a prayer for him. The Chaplet of Divine Mercy is straight ahead. It's live. I'll take your calls. We'll take the first 5, 6, 7 calls. We'll see how many we can get in. 888-914-9149 on this great day. We'll call upon the intercession of the saints, especially St. Faustina, when I return.